What if you could have new customers chase you down instead of the other way around? What if price was removed as an objection for new customers? Or what if you could stand out without saying a single word? Increase your sales, get more leads, and build a brand with Green Frog Web Design. Get a website that helps you pre-sell your work and remove price as an objection. Now, we have a great offer for the Million Dollar Landscaper podcast listeners. You can get your first month for only $1 with Scott and have your website live in 3 weeks from the projected start date, or it's free for a year. And now, are you tired of sending people to the crusty old website you have? Or is your website impossible to find on Google? Or just does it lack the proper SEO? Allow Green Frog Web Design to build you a new website or improve the SEO on your current website so that it converts visitors and helps you get ranked on Google.
We want to take a quick second to tell you about our friends over at Cycle CPA. I can't even express to you how important it is to have a good accountant on your side. You know you want accurate bookkeeping and financial statements every month. Instead, you're often left with limited time to focus on the accounting side of your business and no reports to show for it. At Cycle CPA, the landscaping accountants, they not only handle the bookkeeping, but also provide landscape industry benchmarking, job costing, financials by service line, advisory meetings, and much more. Cycle CPA has a team of landscaping accountants available to provide anything from bookkeeping to CFO services. Visit cyclecpa.com and for $100 off, mention the Million Dollar Landscaper podcast.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Million Dollar Landscaper podcast. Today, we wanted to hop right in and talk about something that's probably coming onto your radar if it hasn't already, and that's hiring people. And we all know the struggles and the issues we have with finding people and keeping people and all that stuff. So we wanted to go through and talk a little bit about, you know, having a process. You know, we're all about the systems and procedures here, and this should include hiring people. And you want to have a step-by-step method that you go through to be consistent with it and to help find the best person for your job. And one of the things I think that before you even start the process is to really sit down and look at what position you're hiring for. So if it's for the landscape foreman, the mowing person, whatever, you know, supervisor, whatever,
a laborer,
yeah, whatever
is
it is.
You're getting
yeah, any position you're going to be hiring, you need to look at and think about, what do you want them to do? Yeah, you want them to come and mow the lawn or, you know, grade the yard or whatever it is that you want them to do. But sit down and really think about what you want them to do, because when you start reaching out and talking to people about, you know, bringing them on, doing the interview, you ultimately are selling to them why they should come work. If you don't have a clear understanding of what is expected of them, you're going to have a hard time finding people and keeping people because you're not setting those clear definitions at the beginning. So one of the things I really recommend you do is sit down and look at, you know, what are their major responsibilities? What do you want them to ultimately do? What skills do they need in that position? You know, do they just need to be able to do any basic math, or they need to just be able to lift 50 pounds or, you know, whatever it is, start looking at those things and start documenting those.
Well, I think this is important. I don't know if you planned on touching on this specifically when it comes to any kind of supervisory position. Because you may be like, oh man, I got this guy coming. He's going to interview. He's worked at such and such landscaping. I've heard he's really great. Well, he might be a great landscaper, but that doesn't mean he's going to be a great supervisor. He or she, I should say. So just make sure, like Scott said, if you know what exactly you need them to do, just make sure that they have that skill set, because being great at landscaping doesn't mean that you're going to be great at supervising, because those are two separate skill sets.
Yeah. Well, along those lines, I can recall my dad be like, oh, I got so-and-so coming. They're leaving whatever company and they're going to make a big difference in our business. And you have to really look at, you know, again, what did you want from them? Because if you wanted something and
they're not mind readers.
Yeah,
if you had something specific in mind that you wanted them to come and turn around in your business, you better have told them, because
yes,
they might not have had that in mind. They don't know your business. That might not even be on their radar. So if you have expectations from that person and don't clearly outline what those expectations are, and then they don't meet the expectations, you cannot be mad at them because you never told them what they were.
And these can be like the amount of hours you want them to work and just some basic things. Because if you want them working 60 hours a week and they don't want to do that, they only want to work 40 hours a week, like that needs to be put out there. And like, is it part-time? Is it full-time? All those basic things.
Well, that's one of the big changes that I have seen in the industry over the past 20 some odd years that we've been in it. That the expectation used to just be that you work Monday through Friday, sun up to sundown, you're probably going to show up half a Saturday and maybe a little bit on Sunday. Yeah. But nowadays, people guard their time, their personal time and their time off way more than it ever used to be. Like I said, that's an expectation that needs to be stated ahead of time. Yeah. And maybe it's going to be, well, during these certain months, maybe, you know, June, July, August, I'm expecting you to work 60 hours a week, but we can, you know, negotiate the terms for the other months or whatever. You can work it to whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can expect people to put in the hours, like I said, like even like 25 years ago, like they did, because it's just not real.
That's a great point, because at one point, my dad and I were not seeing eye to eye. I was going to leave. I was going to go work for a supplier, a landscape supply house near us. And I went and met with them. And one of the things they told me they wanted me to work was their expectation was they wanted me to work, and I don't remember exact details, but they wanted me to work Sunday through Saturday, all week long, 7 days a week for the first like 2 or 3 months of the season. I'm like, holy cow, like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to work every freaking weekend. And it was like, that was what I expected to do.
That was expected because they were open on the weekend.
Yeah, and that's fine. But like, but I don't want to.
Because it was communicated to you, you knew to turn that job down and to be like, you know what, thanks for the opportunity. I really, you know, appreciate you keeping me in mind, but this isn't going to line up with.
No, and I like, there's no way I'm doing that. I wanted to spend time with my family and stuff, and that's not what I want to do. So I appreciated having that. So, but if he didn't tell that to me, and I would have got hired in and all of a sudden, you're coming Saturday and Sunday, I would have been pissed.
Big like, mad.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's nice having that expectation. So once you have that stuff down and really write it out, create a job description for every single job, then you want to create a enticing job ad. You know, everybody puts out there hiring a foreman or whatever it is that they're hiring, and just like a basic thing that they're, is that enticing? Is that encouraging people to want to come work for you? You know, you want to bring out what's great about your business. If you can have even testimonials from your current employees saying why it's great to work for you, but you need to have something in there that's enticing to come out there. At one point, we actually had a sign in our front of our property that said something along the lines of get paid to work out. Remember we had that big sign up front?
Yeah.
Just trying to be creative, just trying to be funny and encourage people to come work out. Again, the ad needs to be something that pops out and stands out. If you just have some words on a Facebook post, they're probably not going to read it. You know, there has to be something that's kind of catchy in there. In that, then you want to have something like on your website that's like a careers page or what have you that talks about that stuff. And those are a great place to have like the testimonials from your current team members saying, you know, doing a little video why they like working with you. That's something that we've been seeing more and more people doing. They're having great results by doing that. Because remember, we are selling to those new candidates, those new people that we want them to come here. So we have to do an excellent job of selling. We sell to our customers. We need to sell to our employees. It's a whole different market.
I feel like the old fart in the room here, but I remember when work was just work and you went to work and work was work, whatever. A lot of people now like to feel like they're a part of something, and having testimonials from your current employees will show prospective employees that, oh, there's a culture here. I really want to be a part of this group that really makes these great waterfalls or puts these great patios in or does whatever. A lot of people nowadays are much more into company culture and being part of something than I used to see in the past. Like I said, even 20 years ago, it was a little more just, you know, show up and do the work. But now, no, they want to be a part of something.
Well, just speaking to one of our clients the other day, they're out of Colorado. They do a lot of natural habitats and a lot of great things.
Native plantings.
Yes, and then they bring in people that are interested in it, and they've created a culture around this, and it's all about that. And they have people literally coming to them because they've heard about the business and the culture that they've developed, not just, you know, inside, but what they do. And it's because of they posted it and let it out in the world.
Yeah, depending where you're at, a lot of places, there's a lot of ecologically minded people that would be like, oh, you know, I'm really, really interested in that. Or, oh, hey, you know, my son, daughter, niece, nephew is in college and they're looking for a summer job. But, you know, they really are into the environment and butterflies and birds and oh, that'd be a great place to go get a summer job. So yep. That's something that makes you stand out. It's a little bit unique. It's a little bit different. And you will get a certain type of person.
Mm-hmm. Those are those types of things you want to have in those ads that we're talking about, those posts that you put out there. That has to be something that's going to encourage them based on what you do.
We really pushed hard that we did like higher end hardscapes and water features because we didn't want to put out there that we were just like mowing and like basic landscaping. We wanted to put out a higher end image.
Yep.
And so then you get people that were more tied to, like we mentioned, those higher end jobs. They wanted to take the pictures of, look at this, you know, $50,000 waterfall that I installed and stuff like that. Yeah. They liked being a part of that type of culture.
We had one of our foremen that came from another company that came to us. They were hardscape specialists. That's what they did. They came to us and they wanted to do the water feature side. They found it interesting and loved what we did. So they came and he actually worked underneath us and he actually, you know, took over my position in the field because he was became the foreman and all that.
We were known for that. Yeah. And we were known for doing them well and really cool jobs. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're like, yeah, of course we wouldn't want to go to the company that's doing all the cool stuff.
Well, and we've also created that culture around it. And that's what the stuff you have to put out there in the world so they see it and want to come work for you.
Sure.
So the next thing after, you know, you put the ads out, you're getting people coming to you, or contacting you, reaching out to you about a position. What do you do next? Do you just call them in and have the interview? No, we want to kind of weed out and get rid of the people that are obviously not going to come because you're going to have people show up, like say they're going to be interested and they never show up for the interview. So what we want to do is have a phone conversation with them even before the interview. So you want to have just a 15-20 minute phone conversation with them. For one, it's going to see if they're like legit interest in the job, because instead of people just like out there applying for jobs.
Hopefully this will reduce the number of people ghosting. It's just another way to weed out the ghosters.
Yep. And just have some basic questions, you know, what are they looking for? You know, what are they doing right now? And just kind of find some basic information. Let them know a little bit about the job and then let them know the types of environment that they're going to be working in. Like, you're going to be outside. You're going to be in the sun all day. You're going to be doing this, that, lifting, whatever, or whatever the job entails. Let them know and then kind of decide, okay, they feel like they're a good fit. If not, okay, hey, we'd love to invite you to our next step of the process, which is going to be, and that would be your one-on-one interview.
It's a little more upfront work, but it saves you the annoyance of, well, I had all these people. I blocked off my day. Then these people didn't show up.
Yeah. So we just had a phone conversation with somebody. They had three people that were interested in the job. Only one person showed up.
And unfortunately, it happens these days. I've sat in on interviews that are for, you know, full-time jobs with benefits, salary, retirement, like, you know, pretty legit full-time jobs, and people just ghost. So unfortunately, I think that's part of the culture these days of, you know, the world. But hopefully you can reduce that by doing a little bit of that work up front just to kind of weed those people out in the beginning.
Yeah. And then so the next stop is the one-on-one interview. Now, one little thing I will share with you, and this is something that we've heard from our friends over at Team Engine. They actually recommend that you know, the night before the phone or the one-on-one interview, I should say, the night before, you want to shoot them a text. Say, hey, just a reminder, tomorrow we have a one-on-one interview, wherever it is, this time. Can't wait to see you there. And then do another one the morning of. Like, hey, just a quick reminder. What they found is either people that are not interested and they're too embarrassed to, or whatever it is, to contact you in person to say, I'm not going to show up. They're more likely to text you back saying, you know, I've got another job or I'm not interested or whatever. And it eliminates you having to sit there and wait for somebody to show up for the actual one-on-one interview. So that's a little tricky.
Because it's not that they're not showing up. It's the ghosting that's annoying. Because then you're like, are they coming? Yeah. I have this time block. Now I'm waiting. Should I start doing something else? Yeah.
And when I've suggested this to people before, what I would consider the old school mindset of, well, they want the job. They're going to show up. It doesn't happen nowadays. And I unfortunately, yes, I agree. Like, I'm part of that old school. I believe that's what should happen. But it doesn't. Reality is that you have to do something to encourage him. And this, to me, is just an easy step just to eliminate any of your time being wasted waiting around for somebody. So you have to kind of shift your mindset.
That we just get to be the stuffy old people in the room. That's what is coming out of this today.
Well, it is.
Is that we are now the grumpy old people in the room.
Well, no, I would say
we're trying not to be grumpy about it. You've got to change with the times. Or you will become the grumpy person. And we don't want anybody to be grumpy over employees.
Well, that's what you see on the forums, like the Facebook groups and stuff like that. People are like posting, there's nobody good out there. There's all terrible employees, blah, blah, blah. Well, are they? Or, you know, what are you doing to change your mindset and things? So you have to look inside a little
bit. Nobody's perfect.
No.
But you've got to do your part in it as well.
So now you have the one-on-one interview. And you want to go through and you know, have a list of consistent questions. Like, these should be questions you're asking them. You know, they should be open-ended questions, asking situational questions. You know, what would they do? Especially if it's going to be a foreman, you know, what would they do?
I like situational questions.
Yeah, you know, what do you do if a customer comes out and they're mad or whatever? You know, give them different situational questions to find out how they would solve that problem, especially a leadership position of some sort. I think that's an excellent way to find out. And again, remind them of what type of work they're going to be doing. Let them know the conditions, rain, snow, shine, whatever it is. Let them know exactly what's going on. Because I've had a lot of people that have wanted to work for you, but have to be out in the sun all day. Like, yeah, it's part of the job being a landscaper, you know. But some people just have no idea of this. You know, they're coming from other jobs. They've been let go for whatever reason. So just make sure you express all that during this one-on-one interview. Now, after the one-on-one interview, let them know that you're going to do some reference checks. You should be asking for references on your application or during this process, and let them know that you are going to be checking in on those. And ask them, like, a great question is ask them, hey, when I call these references, is anything I should be prepared for? And let them kind of oust themselves. If they had something, oh, I got to fight my last boss or whatever it is, let them kind of be honest. If they're honest, then okay, maybe they're, you know, something went on. But that's a great opportunity to kind of check in and let them know that you are going to check on the references. So once they leave, do the reference check. Honestly, check with them. Now, you're going to have some people that you call them and they're not going to tell you. They, you know, they're in the mindset, I don't want to get in trouble or whatever. I've heard people say that. So don't be upset when you call their reference and they won't tell you anything. They'll say, yeah, they worked here between this time and this time. I've heard people say they don't want to get in trouble. So, but do your due diligence and go out there and reach out to those references and find out what's going on. I know some people that will do background checks. That's kind of up to you whether you want to. It might be necessary depending on what position you're going to get into. I don't necessarily know about a labor position if it's necessary, but, you know, higher up position.
I think that's personal choice.
Yeah. So then once that's all said and done, you need to obviously make a decision. Once you make a decision, in my opinion, you should be creating some kind of like professional job offer. Obviously call them up on the phone and tell them that, hey, you know, we'd like to award you this position. And I also believe it should be something that you email them, send them a letter, whatever it is, acknowledging that you're giving this position. I think it's important to me. It shows a level of professionalism by doing that versus just calling them up the phone and saying, hey, you got the job, start Monday. In that letter too should be some kind of, let them know like what you expect them to do. I want you to show up Monday morning at 7 a.m. You're going to be wearing this type of clothing, what you need to be aware of, what you need to be prepared for.
Yeah, I like it if nothing else for that. And you can just once again set expectations because maybe their whole first day is just going to be filling out paperwork and going on site visits or something. I don't know. Yeah. But you could just kind of, then they just know what they're walking into and they know, okay, well, if I'm going to be filling out paperwork all morning, I need to bring, you know, like my ID, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so then they'll have it ready to go. So it just sets some expectations. So because they're already going to be nervous since they're the new person walking in. So yeah, it can help with a little bit of that if they kind of know what's going to be going on.
And then like even after this is like kind of besides, you want to have some kind of onboarding process. So once they're hired, again, what do they need to do? What is their next steps? What forms they got to fill out? All this, having some kind of onboarding process. We have an onboarding checklist inside of our Inner Circle program that they can go through to make sure they're staying on track and everybody's getting trained the same way.
Especially if you have most of your people coming back and you're not always doing a whole bunch of hiring. So
having some kind of onboarding checklist is very important. But overall, like I said, you want to have a process that you put everybody through the same thing over and over. For one, it's going to make sure you're staying on track and knowing exactly what to do. It's going to let them be more comfortable knowing what the next step is, what's going to happen. So again, just to kind of recap here real quick, you want to make sure you have some kind of job description, some kind of clear idea what the position entails, what's going to happen, what skills are required. Then you want to have some kind of enticing job ad that's going to encourage them to come work for you or at least apply for you. And then you want to have some kind of phone conversation before you do the one-on-one interview just to save yourselves a lot of headaches. And then do the one-on-one interview and then extend a professional job offer. To me, those are the best ways to set up somebody to come and stay working for you. You know, we see and hear from people that just call somebody up and they're just hiring fast. I need a body. And they hire fast and then they end up in trouble or, you know, the person just does not work out. So having some kind of process and flow that you go through will help encourage, you know, the better employees. It's going to weed out the bad employees and just hopefully eliminate a lot of the headaches.
Well, because you honest to God, never know how somebody's going to be until they work for you. Yeah. You literally never know. Yeah. But these are things you can do just to make the best choice possible, because you just don't know. I have hired people who I thought were going to be great and they ended up being terrible. I have hired people that I was just like, eh, well, it was kind of like, we need a body and you're not terrible. So we hired him and he ended up being amazing. And so sometimes you literally just don't know until you hire them.
Yeah.
But if you can do as much upfront work as you can to make the best decisions that you can, it'll hopefully save you a lot of headaches.
Yeah. And just again, it shows that employee, that potential team member, that you are a professional company. When you're doing these kind of steps, you're sending them a professional job offer. It shows the level of what you are.
It's like having kids. They're going to do as you do, not as you say.
Yeah.
So if they see you be, you know, a hot mess of tornado garbage, then they'll be like, oh, we can just be a hot mess of tornado garbage. We don't have to have our act together around here. But if they're like, oh, man, they've really got it together, then I got to get it together.
Yeah, and if they see that, they're, you know, it's going to weed out the people that are the tornado mess, as you put it, or it's going to keep those people coming in, encouraging the people that you want to come work for you. So again, have some kind of process, lay it out, and do it consistently throughout every single person you deal with. So if you have any questions on this, want more information on this, is the kind of stuff that we teach inside our inner circle. In fact, in April, this is what we're hammering through the whole hiring process and nailing down and going through each one of these steps individually. So if you're interested in that, check out our Profits Up Inner Circle.
Yeah, the Inner Circle is the chance to actually get these processes done, because we meet at set times. So you can actually get this shit done, because everybody's like, oh, I should probably do that, and then never sets aside time to actually get it done. So this is the opportunity to get it on your calendar, and you get to do it and pick Scott's brain while you're doing it. So not only do you have time set aside to get it done, you can have some expert help in the meantime while you get it done.
Yep. So take advantage of that. Get in there and get your hiring process set up if you don't have one already. You're not sure where to even begin. So
absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us today and hope you have a great day.
That's a wrap on another exciting episode here of the Million Dollar Landscaper Podcast. Now, thank you for joining us on this journey and thank you for being a member of our community. Remember our motto, do it dirty means just get started and not be afraid of making mistakes. We honestly believe this is one of the keys to the success in this industry and in life. Now, if you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment, head over to Apple and leave us a review. Your support helps us reach more listeners and bring even more value to the show. Until next time, keep doing it dirty and grow your business to new heights.